بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. وبعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، we thank Almighty Allah for bringing us together again to have yet another class in Tafsir. In our last Tafsir class, we were in Surah Baqarah and we stopped at verse 96. So today, inshallah, ta'ala, we shall continue from verse 97, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قل من كان عدوا لجبريل فإنه نزله على قلبك بإذن الله.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل من كان عدوا لجبريل فإنه نزله على قلبك بإذن الله مصدقا لما بين يديه وهدى وبشرى للمؤمنين. من كان عدوا لله وملائكته ورسله وجبريل وميكال فإن الله عدو للكافرين.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in this surah, قل، like talking to his prophet, like say, من كان عدوا لجبريل, whoever is an enemy to Angel Jibreel, فإنه نزله على قلبك بإذن الله. Then let that person, or whoever they are, let them know that indeed he brought it down to your heart with Iznillah, by Allah's permission. What did he brought down? He brought the Quran. Right? He came down with the revelation of the Quran to your heart by the permission of Allah. Musaddiqan bima bayna yadayhi, confirming that which was before it. The Quran comes to confirm the previous book. Wahudan is an a guardian. Wabushra lil mu'minin, and a black tiding to the believer. Then Allah says, Man kana aduwa lillah, whoever is an enemy to Allah, wa malaikatihi, and his angel, wa rusulihi, and his messenger, wa jibrila, an angel Jibril, wa mikala, an angel Mika'il, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَدُوٌّ لِلْكَافِرِينَ. Then verily Allah is an enemy to the disbelievers. These two verses were revealed as a result of the question presented to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by some Jews. Okay, some Jews, Yahud. Some of them came to the Prophet in Medina and said, Ya Muhammad, we have some questions to ask you, about five questions. If you answer them correctly, then we know that you are truly a prophet of Allah. In our narration, he said, nobody knows the answer to this question except a true prophet of Allah. The Prophet said to them, no problem, I'm ready to answer your questions, but on one condition. He said, what is your condition? He said, if I answer them correctly, then you will believe in me and follow me in the religion of Islam. He said, no problem. So The father said, fine, we have an agreement. He said, yes.
Okay.
Bring your question. So they started presenting their questions one after the other. Number one question, they said, Ma alamatun nabi? What is the sign of the prophet? The prophet responded by saying, Tanamu aynahu wa la yanamu qalbi. The sign of the prophet is that his eye sees, but his heart does not see. When we all sleep, we all become completely unconscious, isn't it? But when prophet of Allah sleeps, their heart still remains awake with the remembrance of Allah. They said, Sadaqta, you are studying too. Number two question. They said, كيف تؤنب المرأة وكيف يذكر الرجل. They said, how does a baby defective, or that becomes a female child? And how does it become a male child? Okay? The Prophet answered by saying, يلتقي الماءان. The two waters. Water here refers to sperm. And that is sperm of a man and a woman. They meet in the womb. The Prophet said, فإذا على ماء الرجل ماء المرأة أكثر. وإذا على ماء المرأة ماء الرجل أنثى. That two sperms meet. So if it is the male sperm that overpowers the female sperm, then the fetus will be a baby boy. And if it is the female sperm that overpowers the male sperm, then the baby will be a baby girl. In other narration of this hadith, he said that is also what is responsible for the likeness. Or that's what determines who the child will look like. He said, Sadaqta, you have said it too. Number three question, they said, مَنْ الَّذِي حَرَّمَهُ إِسْرَائِيلَ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ. What was it that Israel made prohibited upon himself? Israel here is Prophet Yaqub. Okay? We shall come to that later, inshallah, in Surah Al Imran, where Allah says, كُلُّ طَعَامٍ كَانَ حِلَّ لِبَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ إِلَّا مَا حَرَّمَ إِسْرَائِيلُ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ. Like all food were made halal for the Bani Israel, children of Israel, except that which Israel himself, who is Prophet Yaqub, made haram upon himself. So they were asking for it. What was it Prophet Yaqub made haram upon himself? The Prophet responded that what he made haram upon himself was the meat and milk of camel. Okay? Yes. We shall come to that inshallah in Surah Al Imran. It was reported that Prophet Yaqub fell sick. Okay, he fell sick for a very long time and he prayed to Allah to heal him and he made a vow that if Allah heals him, he will make prohibited upon himself the food that he loves most. Alright, and so when Allah healed him, it happened that what he loved most was the meat and milk of camel. So he made it prohibited upon himself. They said, Sadaqta, you have said it too. Number four question, right? They said, Ma huwa ra. What is the thunderstorm? When it rains and we hear thunderstorm, what is this thunderstorm? The Prophet said, Malakun min malaikatillah. And Malakun min malaikatillah muwakkal bil sahab. Alright, the Malakun min malaikatillah muwakkal bil sahab. This is an angel among the angels of Allah in charge of the clouds. Alright? He said, بِيَدِهِ نِخْرَى مِنَ النَّارِ. In his hand is a wick made of fire. Okay? يُسْجِرُهِ أَسْفَحَابُ يَسُوقُهُ حَيْثُ أَمَرَ اللَّهِ. Alright? It is with that wick that he drives the clouds to wherever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands. Okay? They said, صَدَقْتَ your strategy. Belong to that point. One last question. Okay, this last question will determine whether we shall follow you or we shall go our separate way. The Prophet said, Hat, bring your last question. He said, Ma min nabiyyin illa wa lahu malakun ya'tihi bil khabar. Faman sahibuka. that there is no prophet except that he has an angel who brings information to him from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who brings revelation to him. So who is your own angel? The Prophet now says, Jibreel. He says, Jibreel, فَذَاكَ مَلَكٌ يَأْتِي بِالْعَذَابِ وَالشِّدَّةِ لَوْ كُنْتَ مِيكَائِلَ الَّذِي يَأْتِي بِالرَّحْمَةِ وَالْقَطَرِ مَكَانًا. He said, Jibreel, that's an angel that comes with punishment. Alright, that's an angel that comes with strict rules from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, in one of the narrations, they said, هُوَ عَدُونَ. He is our enemy. If you have said Mika'il, who comes with mercy of Allah, who comes with al-qatar, that is rain, wal nabat, and is in charge of cultivation, we will have followed you. So because of this, we are not following. Alright? And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals this to what he's saying. And Ul, Allah says to Prophet, tell them, man kana aduwa li Jibreel. Whoever is an enemy to Jibreel, then let him know that فَإِنَّهُ نَزَّلَهُ عَلَى قَلْبِكَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. Alright, he has indeed brought the Quran to your heart by Allah's permission. Okay? So, the Jews claim that Jibreel is their enemy. And so, for that reason, they will not follow the Prophet into the religion of Islam. Now, take a look at this second verse. Allah says, مَنْ كَانَ عَدُوَ اللَّهِ. Whoever is an enemy to Allah, وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ, his angels, وَرُسُلِهِ, and his messengers, وَجِبْرِيلَ وَمِيكَائِيلَ, Jibreel and even Mikael. Whereas the Jews always said that Jibreel is their enemy. They never said Allah is their enemy, isn't it? They never said Mikael is their enemy. They only said Jibreel is their enemy. But Allah says they have taken Allah, his angels, his messengers, Jibreel and even Mikael, all as enemies. Why? Because you cannot separate Allah from his messenger. Okay, whether his messengers among the angels or his messengers among mankind. Likewise, you cannot separate, between a messenger and another messenger. Alright, you cannot reject one and accept other. Okay, it's either you accept all or you reject all. If you reject one, by implication, you have rejected all of them. Okay, تقرأ الله في القرآن إن الذين يكفرون بالله ورسوله ويريدون أن يفرقوا بين الله ورسوله ويقولون نؤمن ببعض ونكفر ببعض. الله says أولئك هم الكافرون حقا. Allah says those who disbelieve in Allah and His Messenger. Allah already categorized them as believers. Alright, وَيُنِجُونَ أَنْ يُفَارِقُوا بَيْنَ اللَّهِ وَرُسُولِهِ. And they want to differentiate, they want to separate between Allah and His Messenger. Alright, Allah says, وَيَقُولَ نُؤْمِنُ بِبَعْضٍ وَنَكْفُرُ بِبَعْضٍ. They say we believe in some and we disbelieve in some. وَيُنِجُونَ أَنْ يَتَّخِذُوا بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ سَبِيلًا. And they want to take a middle course in between that. Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ حَقًّا. Those are the disbelievers in truth. Okay, so you cannot take some and reject some. That's why you find in several verses of the Quran, Allah will say the people of Ad, for instance, disbelieve in all messengers. The people of Samud disbelieve in all messengers. The people of Saleh disbelieve in all messengers. Remember that these people only disbelieve in their own messenger that was sent to them alone. But Allah is saying they have disbelieved in all messengers, because for them to reject the messenger that was sent to them, the implication is that they have rejected all the entire messengers. Do we understand? So Islam is not a religion where you choose what to take and you reject some. No, you either take all or you reject all. Do we understand? No. So that is how a Muslim should be. Okay. Now these two angels, Jibreel and Mikael, okay, they are both in charge, they play vital roles. Okay, while Jibreel is in charge of revelation, Jibreel is one who brings revelation to virtually all prophets. Mikael, on the other hand, is in charge of rainfall, okay, and cultivation, plants. And these two things are vital to human beings. You need revelation because revelation nourishes your soul, or it brings you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you need rain, isn't it, and cultivation, because that's what produces food, which nourishes your body. Alright, so the nourishment of the soul and body is what ensures the general well-being of man. Okay? And that's why the Prophet ﷺ used to combine these two prophets in addition to Israfil in his supplication. Whenever he wakes up at night to pray, it was reported in some hadith that whenever he wakes up at night to pray, one of the dua of Istikhara that he recites is what? Allahumma Rabba Jibreel wa Mika'il wa Israfil. فاطر السماوات والأرض عالم الغيب والشهادة أنت تحكم بين عبادك فيما كانوا فيه يختلفون اهدني لما اختلف فيه من الحق بإذنك إنك تهدي إلى صراط المستقيم. Now, this is one of the dua al-istikhara that the Prophet used to recite whenever he wakes up for Qiyam al-Layl. The Al-Muhim Mahal Shaykh, the Prophet combined the mentioning of these three angels together. Rabb al-Jibreel, wa Mika'il, wa Israfil. So, as Muslims, we believe in all angels and we believe in all prophets. We do not separate or differentiate between them. Now, tell us.
وَلَقَدْ أَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ آيَاتٍ بَيِّنَاتٍ وَمَا يَكْفُرُ بِهَا إِلَّا الْفَاسِقُونَ أَوَكُلَّمَا عَاهَدُوا عَهْدًا نَبَذَهُ فَرِيقٌ مِّنْهُمْ بل أكثرهم لا يؤمنون ولما جاءهم رسول من عند الله مصدق لما معهم نبذ فريق من الذين أوتوا الكتاب كتاب الله وراء ظهورهم كأنهم لا يعلمون.
نعم الله سبحانه وتعالى قد أنزلنا إليك آيات بينات. Indeed we have revealed to you manifest signs, clear signs. وَمَا يَكْفُرُ بِهَا إِلَّا الْفَاسِقُونَ. And none will disbelieve in this clear sign except those who are rebellious, those who rebel against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What Allah means by clear signs here, Salah says, it includes all supernatural signs and also signs of the Quran, specifically signs of the Quran. Alright, because when Allah says وَمَا يَكْفُرُ بِهَا إِلَّا الْفَاسِقُونَ, no one disbelieves in them except the rebellious. Allah is referring to the Quran, because the Quran comes with details, alright, details about everything that man needs to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Quran comes with information about stories of the past, it tells us about the present, and it tells us things that will happen in future, and even tells us things that will happen on the day of judgment. This information are very clear, enough, sufficient for every person who has a sound mind and intellect to believe. Alright, so when the Jews disbelieve in this time, it is nothing but an act of rebellion. Alright, they are deliberately rejecting the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why Allah described them as maghdubun alayhim. So that Allah is angry with them, okay, because they know the truth, yet they reject it. And that's why Allah says, أَوَكُلَّمَا عَاهَدُوا أَحْدًا. It is that each time they make a covenant, they make an agreement with Allah, نَبَدَهُ فَرِيكٌ مِنْهُ, then a group among them will throw that agreement aside. After they have made an agreement to Allah to believe, alright, they made an agreement to believe in the last prophet that will be sent. They made an agreement to believe in the book that will be revealed to that last prophet. But when that prophet came and they identified him and knew him by the qualities mentioned in their book, they rejected him. So Allah said, is that each time they make a covenant with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, نَبَذَهُ فَرِيكٌ مِنْهُ, a group among them will throw that agreement aside. Allah says, بَلْ أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Allah says, most of them do not believe. And that's why he said, وَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ رَسُولٌ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. And when a messenger from Allah came to them, مُصَدِّقٌ لِمَا مَعَهُمْ, confirming that which was with them, the Torah that was with them, نَبَذَ فَرِيقٌ مِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَرَاءَ ظُهُورِهِمْ. A group among the people of the scripture threw away the book of Allah behind their back. Allah says, كَأَنَّهُ لَا يَعْلَمُ. I see the doctrine. But they know. Right? Because Allah even says that يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ. They know him just the way they know their children. Alright? They know every sign in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yet they refuse to accept. So by this, they had rejected the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they had rejected the guidance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent to mankind. You know, the Hausa used to say, idan baka yi sharan masallaci ba, me za ka yi? Ba ka na kaza ba? If you refuse to sweep the mosque, where will you sweep? You go sweep the market. A prophet of Allah was sent to them with a divine book. They rejected. When they rejected the book of Allah, now which book did they decide to pull? We shall see the next one.
وَاتَّبَعُوا مَا تَتْلُو الشَّيَاطِينُ عَلَى مُلْكِ سُلَيْمَانَ وَمَا كَفَرَ سُلَيْمَانُ وَلَكِنَّ الشَّيَاطِينَ كَفَرُوا يُعَلِّمُونَ النَّاسَ السِّحْرَ وَمَا أُنْزِلَ عَلَى الْمَلَكَيْنِ بِبَابِلَ هَارُوتَ وَمَارُوتَ وَمَا يُعَلِّمَانِ مِنْ أَحَدٍ حَتَّى يَقُولَا إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ فِتْنَةٌ فَلَا تَكْفُرْ فيتعلمون منهما ما يفرقون به بين المرء وزوجه وما هم بضارين به من أحد إلا بإذن الله ويتعلمون ما يضرهم ولا ينفعهم ولقد علموا لمن اشتراه ما له في الآخرة من خلاق ولبئس ما شروا به أنفسهم لو كانوا يعلمون ولو أنهم آمنوا واتقوا لمثوبة من عند الله خير لو كانوا يعلمون.
نعم. Allah says, وَاتَّبَعُوا مَا تَتْلُو الشَّيَاطِينُ عَلَى مُلْكِ سُلَيْمَانَ. Since they have rejected the book of Allah, they have rejected Prophet Muhammad, instead, Allah says, وَاتَّبَعُوا مَا تَتْلُو الشَّيَاطِينُ. Shayateen, they followed what the devil recited to them. عَلَى مُلْكِ سُلَيْمَانَ. During the kingdom, during the lifetime of Prophet Sulaiman. What happened was that Prophet Sulaiman, alayhi salam, as we all know, was among the prophets of Allah, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave power that he never gave to any other prophet. Okay? He was in control of mankind, jinn, and even animals. Yes. Allah subjected the wind to him. He could travel to far distance, to and fro, within a very short period of time, through the wind. He could hear what the animals are saying. He could control the jinn. They were working for him day and night. Alright? So, when he finally died, the devils began to whisper to mankind, began to tell people that Sulaiman had this power, because he was practicing magic. See here. Do you understand? And that they have discovered that sihr, and they are ready to teach it to those who would like to learn it. And you know, human being is hungry for power. So people began to go to the Jews, began to go to this devil to learn the sihr. Alright? So Allah says, وَاتَّبَعُوا مَا تَتْلُوا الشَّيَاطِينَ. They abandoned the guidance of Allah and now chose to follow what the devils were reciting to them, the incantation. Alright, that the devils were reciting to them, teaching them to use to practice magic, claiming that this was what Suleiman was also doing. So it became popular among the Jews that Suleiman was a magician. And even when Prophet Muhammad said, and was mentioning several prophets as we have in many parts of the Quran, they were saying that, look at Muhammad mentioning Suleiman as a righteous prophet, whereas Suleiman was nobody but a magician. And so Allah refuted that claim, that false accusation against his prophet. Alright? Allah said, وَمَا كَفَرَ Suleiman. Allah said, Suleiman did not disbelieve. ولكن الشياطين كفر but the devil disbelieved. يعلمون الناس السحر. They were teaching people magic. Take note here. The devil and the Jew never said Prophet Suleiman is a disbeliever. What did they say? They said he was a magician. And when Allah is going to repeat their claim, Allah did not say Suleiman is not a magician. Allah said Suleiman did not disbelieve. Why did Allah say so? Because the practice of magic is an act of disbelief. Do you understand? The practice of magic is an act of kufr. It's an act of disbelief. Whoever practices magic, whoever does sihr, does charm, that person is a kafir. And so, if they say that Suleiman was a magician, by implication, they are saying Suleiman was a disbeliever. And that's why Allah says, وَمَا كَفَرَ Suleiman. Suleiman never disbelieved. وَلَكِنَّ الشَّيَاطِينَ كَفَرُ. It is the devil who disbelieved. يُعَلِّمُونَ النَّاسَ السِّحْرَ. They were teaching people sihr, magic. So, to practice magic is an act of kufr. To teach it is also an act of kufr. Okay? And then we shall come to see. To learn it as well is an act of kufr. Allah says, وَمَا أُنزِلَ عَلَى الْمَلَكَيْنِ بِبَادِلَ هَارُوتَ وَمَارُوتَ. Alright? Also, and those things that were revealed to the two angels, Harut and Marut divided at Babylon. Babylon was a town, or is a town in Iraq, in present-day Iraq. Okay? What happened was that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent two angels to live among men, among people in Babylon, as a trial to mankind. Okay? And those angels were practicing singing. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had prohibited people from practicing sihr. Okay? Then Allah sent his angels teaching sihr to see whether people were able to, you know, exercise self-restraint to resist the temptation of going to learn sihr. Okay? So those angels were sent as trials to mankind. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا يُعَلِّمَانِ مِنْ أَحَدٍ حَتَّى يَقُولَ إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ فِتْنَةً فَلَا تَكْفُرْ. Allah says, they do not teach anyone, alright, they don't teach anybody this sihr until they have said to that person, إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ فِتْنَةً, we are a trial, فَلَا تَكْفُرْ, so do not disbelieve. What do they mean by do not disbelieve? I do not disbelieve by learning sihr. The fact that what people are going to learn for. So when you come today, you want to learn things, they are telling you that what you are about to do is an act of disbelief. We were sent to you as a trial. So do not disbelieve. And that's why we said to practice sihr is kufr. Okay? To teach it is kufr. To learn it is kufr. Alright? So, sihr, magic is haram in Islam. It's haram in Islam. And the Prophet also said there are other practices that take the same ruling with sihr. Okay? For instance, I heard from the Prophet, right? He said, مَنِ اتَّبَتَ عِلْمًا مِنَ النُّجُومِ اتَّبَتَ شُعْبَةً مِنَ السِّحْرِ. Whoever acquires a knowledge of astrology, you know astrology? That is knowledge where people sit down, they look at the stars, right? And from the, you know, movement of the stars or from their direction, they can tell you something will happen or something will not happen. Okay? Because whoever practices this has practiced a part of sihr. Meaning that act is also kufr, just like sihr. Okay? Now, likewise, in other hadith, he said, whoever acquires knowledge of astrology or rides on sand, alright, has practiced sihr. So, those our people who you go to them and they do something and they have to tell you, this is what is happening to you, this is what you are seeing, this is the person that is attacking you, or this is what will happen. This act is an act of disbelief. Some will say, bring your hand, you show them your hand, and they draw some things on it, or they look at it and they tell you, this is what is happening to you. This is an act of disbelief. Likewise, witchcraft, alright, is part of it. It is an act of disbelief. I won't follow you. No. So, sihr, in whatever form, okay, is an act of disbelief. Now, what is the punishment for one who commits, who practices sihr? Okay, here scholars differ. Scholars from the Maliki school of thought and scholars from the Hanabila school of thought are of the opinion that when a person practices sihr, his punishment is that he should be given the death sentence, should be killed. Okay? They build their opinion on a hadith, a hadith in Tirmidhi, hadith of Junud, where it says, the Prophet said that حَدْ السَّاهِرْ ضَرْبُهُ بِالسَّيْرِ. Now, that the punishment of a sahir, a magician, is that you should strike him with the sword. Although this hadith is weak, the hadith is ba'if. However, there are other narrations from the practice of the companions of the Prophet that they pronounce death sentence upon anybody who performs magic. We have an authentic narration from Umar ibn Khattab in which he wrote a letter to all his governors when he was the Khalifa. He said, "Anikutulu kulla sahir wa sahira." Kill every magician, male or female. That was the ruling of Umar ibn Khattab. Also, we have a narration from Hafsa, the wife of the Prophet, in which it was reported that she had a slave girl that was her maid, that was her servant, and the girl charmed her, or that she did sihr upon her. And when it was later discovered that she was the one who did it, she instructed that the slave girl should be killed. There is also another narration from Al-Walid ibn Uqba, right, when he was the governor of Kufa during the time of Uthman. Okay, in his palace, a man came and was practicing magic, and people gathered around him. And the man would take his sword and cut the neck of the person. He came with somebody, and he would cut off the head of that person. Then he would cut the person's neck, and the person's head would return back to his neck. And people started shouting, "This man can give life to the dead." Another companion who was there brought out his sword and cut off the neck of the magician and said, "If he can bring back death to life, let him bring himself back to life." Alright? Let him bring himself back to life. So you have this narration from the companion, right, indicating that their ruling concerning the practice of magic is the death sentence. Okay? So long as a magician was caught, okay? It was caught, then that should be the ruling. Some scholars even went as far as saying that even if he was caught and he now claims that he has repented, you should not accept his repentance. Right? Because you cannot know whether he has truly repented or not. However, scholars from the Shafi'i school of thought were of the opinion that no, alright, we should not just pronounce death sentence upon a magician. Rather, we look at his practice of magic. If he has used his practice to commit an act that warrants death punishment, then he will be sentenced to death. But if he has done something that does not warrant death punishment, then he will be given another punishment other than death sentence. For instance, if he used his magic to kill somebody, alright, when you murder somebody, your punishment is also that you should be killed. And not so enough, isn't it? So to them, if he uses his magic to kill somebody, then he should also be killed. But if he uses his magic to do other than that, he has not killed somebody, then he should be given another punishment, not death sentence. That is the view of the Shafi'i school of thought. So it's a difference of opinion among scholars. Allahu ta'ala a'lam. Ala kulli hal. Sin here is real and it has impact. Alright? Somebody can make sin upon you and it will make you go mad. Somebody can make sin upon another person and that person will become sick. Alright? Somebody can make sin. It's real. Alright? Because there are some scholars who say that it's not real. No, the fact that it's real, it has impact on human beings. Alright? It can really affect human beings. As we know in a very popular hadith that the Prophet himself suffered sihr, isn't it? When a Jew, alright, in Medina called Ladin bin al-A'sam, alright, did charm upon the Prophet and the Prophet became sick. Yes, he used the comb of the Prophet, which contains some hair of the Prophet. He applied some magic, some charm in it and threw it into a river. Alright, and the Prophet became sick. Not until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent two angels, alright, to do ruqya upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay? And when they did ruqya, they informed him that this is what happened, and he went to that well in the company of some companions, and they extracted that magic and destroyed it. Okay? Now, so it is real, it has impact. They did so many things with it. And that's why Allah mentioned one of the common things that the Jews were doing with their own sin. Allah says, فَيَتَعَلَّمُونَ مِنْهُمَا مَا يُفَرِّقُونَ بِهِ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَزَوْجِهِ. Allah says, they were learning from them. The Jews were learning from these two angels. مَا يُفَرِّقُونَ بِهِ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَزَوْجِهِ. What they will use to cause separation between a man and his wife. And that's very common today. Alright, even in today, in our present day, people use sihr to cause separation between a man and a woman. Somebody will marry his wife, they are living peacefully. All of a sudden, he will begin to hate his wife for no reason. There are situations like that. I've seen somebody, this usually happens when between co-wives. Isn't it? When a person has more than one wife, we will see them begin to charm each other. I've seen a situation where a man had a wife before he married his second wife. And when he married his second wife, just within a few months, he began to hate his second wife for no reason. Alright? And the fellow had this issue to the extent that he ended up divorcing her. I want to ask him, why do you hate this lady so much? After you were the one who said you dated her for years before you married her. He said, so I don't understand. Allahu a'lam. Allah actually influenced by what? Some things like this can be as a result of sin. If a person begins to hate himself or know this, then something is wrong. Something is wrong. Alright? So it happens. And that's what Shaitan wants. We all know that hadith the Prophet said that Shaitan used to send his people, alright, his army, to go into the world to cause havoc. Alright? And when they come back, they will be telling him one after the other, this is what I did, and he said, you have not done anything. Until that one will come and said, I saw a couple and I kept on causing people between them until the man divorced his wife. The Prophet said that Shaitan will wear him a crown and said, you are right. So that's what Shaitan wants. Okay? So we must guard protect ourselves from sin. How do we protect ourselves? We protect ourselves using azkar. Alright, we protect ourselves using azkar. We protect ourselves through whoever has been afflicted, we use ruqya, okay, to heal it. Just as the angels used al-falak and now to heal the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What I'm driving at here is that we do not cure sihr with sihr. Alright, this is haram. Some people have this kind of mentality. Alright, somebody, I've seen a lady in this town who once told me that she believes that that some people have done sihr against her. They are using jinn to fight her. I told her, fine, what do you do now? let us get somebody to do Rukia. I went to Mala Usman, as one of my who selling Islamic medicine in the new market. I went and brought him, I said, come and do Rukia for this woman. He did Rukia for days. Alright? After some days, the woman called me and said, madam, we need to do something stronger. Once you said so, I knew where to tell you. So I said, yeah, I don't have that capacity. This is what I can do for you. If you don't believe this one, I don't like them. Alright, we do not cure fear with fear. We cure fear with what's of the Quran. With Azkar, protect yourself with Azkar of Sabah wa Limasa. Alright, that is better than going to engage in charm because you want to cure another charm. Okay? So, Allah says that this is what they do. Then Allah says, وَمَا هُمْ بِضَارِينَ بِهِ مِنْ أَحَدٍ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. Allah says that they cannot harm anybody with it except by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Muslims, alright, we take this step to protect ourselves. But if Allah has decreed that you will suffer such a calamity, you should suffer it as a trial, alright, to see whether you will be patient, alright, and accept the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, nobody can harm you in it except by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's permission. And full time you see bana illa ma kataballahu lana, huwa maulana. Nothing will afflict us except that which Allah has decreed. Okay? So Allah says, وَمَا هُمْ بِطَارِنَ بِهِ مِنْ أَحَدٍ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. Allah says, وَيَتَعَلَّمُونَ مَا يَضُرُّهُمْ وَلَا يَنْفَعُهُمْ. These Jews were learning what will harm them and will not benefit them. Meaning, this practice of sin or learning it will not benefit them in their hereafter. They may gain some benefit. What will benefit for me? Alright? But it is nothing when compared to the punishment that they will face on the day of judgment. So Allah says they are learning what will harm them and will not benefit them. Allah says, وَلَقَدْ عَلِمُوا. Indeed they knew. لَمَنِ اشْتَرَاهُ. That whoever buys it, meaning whoever engages in sin, مَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ خَلَاقٍ. Such a person will have no share in the hereafter. You have no share of Allah's money. You have no share of paradise in the hereafter. Allah says, وَلَبِئْسَ مَا شَرَوْا بِهِ أَنفُسَهُمْ. Allah says, how evil is that which they have sold themselves for? لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُ. If only they knew. So, in Sahir, it's a caveat, he has no share in the matter of Allah on the day of judgment. Allah concluded this story by saying, وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقَوْا. Allah says, if they had believed, وَاتَّقَوْا, and they feared Allah by keeping their duties to Him, لَمَتُوبَةٌ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ خَيْرٍ. The reward with Allah is far better for them. It's far better than the worldly benefit that they may gain from the practice of sin. The reward with Allah on the judgment is far better than that worldly gain that they will enjoy. That is temporary. لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ. If only they knew. Okay? So you have the mark. Nobody should engage in the practice of sin for whatever reason. Alright? You do not cure or heal yourself if you have been afflicted using sin. You use Quran. You use Azkar of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Alright? Now.
يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَقُولُوا رَاعِنَا وَقُولُوا انظُرْنَا وَاسْمَعُوا وَلِلْكَافِرِينَ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. ما يود الذين كفروا من أهل الكتاب وللمشركين أن ينزل عليكم من خير من ربكم والله يختص برحمته من يشاء والله ذو الفضل العظيم.
نعم. الله سبحانه وتعالى says, يا أيها الذين آمنوا all you who believe لا تقولوا راعنا. Do not say راعنا. راعنا in Arabic language means be mindful of us. Alright? Meaning consider us or take note of us. What happened is that whenever the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is teaching his companions, studying the Quran to them, teaching them about Islam. Sometimes they may not be able to understand as the Prophet is talking. Okay? And so they call his attention. Just like when a teacher is teaching you and you don't understand what he's saying, you take home again. Isn't it? So the companions were using this word, Ra'ina, be mindful of us. Consider the fact that our understanding is not as fast as yours. Alright, so they are saying, Ra'ina, be mindful of us, consider us. Okay? So that was what they need to say to the Prophet in order to draw his attention to repeat himself or to go slow in his speaking. However, this same word, Ra'ina, which we said means be mindful of us in Arabic language, has another meaning in Hebrew language. Hebrew language is the language of the Jews. Alright? The word Ra'ina has another meaning. It has a negative meaning. Alright? In Hebrew language, it means a dull person. It means a dull or a foolish person, sort of. Okay? So, the Jews, during the Prophet, used to insult him hiddenly in his absence. Alright? When they now had the companions using this word to draw the attention of the Prophet, they now say, we didn't have an opportunity to insult him openly. Alright? When we go to him and we're talking to him, we'll also be telling him, Ra'ina, but with the intention of insulting him. Do you understand? So that was what they were doing. Just the way they did in the, concerning the issue of Salam. You know? When the companions come to the Prophet, they will say, Assalamu alaikum. When they come, when the Jews come to the Prophet, they will say, Assalamu alaikum. Alright? Assam means death upon you. Do you understand? They will just come and say it hurriedly, so that the Prophet will think they are saying, Assalamu alaikum. And that's why the Prophet said that when the army will do salam to you, if you are not sure of what they are saying, just say, Wa alaikum. Whatever it is you said that it should be upon me, you too. But to say that, let it be upon you. Do you understand? So you say, Wa alaikum. Whatever it is you have said, Wa alaikum. You too, like that. Yes. Okay? So that was concerning salam. Now here, they were saying, Ra'ina, meaning fool or dog person. So, they were hiding under the fact that the companions of the Prophet were saying so to him. So they could also say the same. And also Allah prohibited the companions from using this word, Ra'ina. Allah says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. All you who believe, La takunu Ra'ina. Do not say Ra'ina. Do not say, be mindful of us. Okay? Waqulu unzurna. Instead, say, wait for us. Unzurna meaning wait for us, meaning wait for us to understand before you proceed. Yes. So instead of saying Ra'ina, say unzurna, wait for us. Allah says, wasma'u, and listen to the Prophet whenever he's talking. Okay? وَلِلْكَافِرِينَ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. And for the disbelievers, there will be a painful torment. So what do we learn from here? What we learn from here is that whenever in our expression, okay, whenever we use words or expressions that can have two meanings, positive and negative, it's better to avoid such words. Alright? And use words that have clear one meaning. Alright? That there will be no any confusion or any misinterpretation. Okay, avoid words that are ambiguous that can have negative meaning so that you will not be misunderstood. Okay? Now. Allah says, مَا يَوَدُّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ وَلَى الْمُشْرِكِينَ. Allah says, those who believe among the people of the scripture, وَلَى الْمُشْرِكِينَ, and also among the mushrikun, the polytheists. Allah says, these people, they do not want, مَا يَوَدُّ, meaning they do not want, أَنْ يُنَزَّلَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ خَيْرٍ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ. They do not want any good to come down upon you from your Lord. Yes. وَاللَّهُ يَخْتَصُّ بِرَحْمَتِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses whoever He wishes for His mercy. وَاللَّهُ ذُو الْفَضْلِ الْعَظِيمِ. And Allah is the owner of great bounty. Alright, what this verse is talking about is the fact that the Ahlul Kitab and the Mushrikun, all of them were envious of the fact that Prophet Muhammad was the one chosen to be the last Prophet. Alright, they didn't want that. The Mushrikun, even the Quraysh in Makkah, right, they used to say that وَقَالُوا لَوْلَا نُزِّلَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ عَلَى رَجُلٍ مِنْ قَرْيَتَيْنِ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى مِنَ الْقَرْيَتَيْنِ أَمْ تَسْتَ ذُكْرُهُ Alright? They were saying that, why is it that this Quran was not revealed to somebody from one of these two towns, meaning Makkah or Taif? Alright, what should be Muhammad? Alright, they feel it should be a great person, somebody who is among the elite. Alright, like that. Likewise, the Jews on the other side in Medina, they were feeling that why was it that the last prophet did not come among them? So both sides are envious of the fact that Allah chose Muhammad to be the bearer of Islam's message. Okay? And that's why Allah says, Wallahu yaqtassu bi rahmatihi man yasha. Allah chooses whoever he wishes for his mercy. Nobody can decide for Allah who he should give his bounty or mercy to. Alright? Yes. What do we learn from here? We learn from here that no matter the hatred of people, no matter the envy, they cannot stop you from getting what Allah has destined that you will get. Yes. Despite their hatred, despite their envy, did it stop Allah from choosing from Muhammad as the last messenger? So one should put his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alright, forget about the haters, forget about those who are angels, forget about anything that anybody has to say. Speak from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah has to say, you will get, you will get. Even if the whole world is against you, you will still get. You understand? So that's why Allah says, وَاللَّهُ يَخْفَصْ بِرَحْمَةِ الْعَشَاءِ وَاللَّهُ ذُلْ فَضْلِ الْعَظِيمِ Allah is the owner of great bounty. Alright, so Allah decides who to give and who to deny. We shall stop here inshallah, because next we are talking about abrogation. And I hope it's a very elaborate topic in Islam, which is the issue of naq. We will discuss it in detail in our next class inshallah. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. They are arrested, okay, and before they are executed, they return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, okay, Allah can forgive them. The punishment was given to them in the punishment in this world, alright? As for a certain of their repentance, if they fully repent, Allah will forgive inshallah. Allah will forgive. That's under the Islamic thing. Doesn't work. It won't work. Everything we're saying here, we're talking about an ideal situation where we have an Islamic state. Alright? In Nigeria, we have freedom. The constitution guarantees freedom. Do whatever you like. So Babylon. Their name is Hal and Mal. I can try it. Okay. Hello. They were learning what they will use to separate between a man and his wife. So it means they were actually learning. Yes, that's the lesson. After the explanation, the two agents now said they were learning what they will use to separate between a man and his wife. So it means they learned that from both of them. No. Evil eye. Now, an eye. Evil eye is green. Alright? Evil eye does not stop you from getting what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has destined that you will get. Evil eye actually causes harm to you. Not the person with it, that is the person that was looked at. Alright, you know, there's a hadith, for example, hadith of Amir. Alright, where the Sahab bin Amir bin Sahab, something like that, where they were traveling with the Prophet. Okay, and he was somebody who had that evil eye. Alright, it was very common among the Arabs. Okay, he had that evil eye, so he saw a person among the company, a man who took off his clothes to shower, comfort because of the heat and they were traveling. Okay, they came by like the spring and they asked about. So when he saw the man, but the man was somebody who was very white and his skin was very good. Okay? So already he looked at the man and he was impressed by the man's skin and beauty of his body, right? The man fell down and became unconscious. You understand? Just by saying how beautiful, my husband has, how beautiful is this man, the man just fell down and became unconscious. So people rushed to the Prophet. Already he was, the man, everybody knew that he had that problem, that the man with the evil eye. Alright, so they immediately took this man that fell down to the Prophet and said, look at what has happened to this man. And then the Prophet sent that they should go and call that companion that has the problem of evil eye. Right? And when he came, the Prophet said, whenever you see something that impresses you, say me Allah bless you. Do you understand? That will stop the impact of this evil eye that you have. Do you understand? Say me Allah bless you. So the Prophet commanded him to perform ablution. Alright, wash his hands, perform normal ablution in the bowl, and that water was now used to pour on the man, and he won't fall. Yeah, that's the same thing. So, what I'm trying to say is that evil eye does not stop you from getting what Allah has destined for them, only that it harms them. Alright, when the person has it looks at you and says any comment like that, you can become attacked by it. Among the Arabs who are reading their stories, they will tell you that somebody passed by with a very beautiful camel. Another person looks at that and says, ha, this camel is very beautiful, and the camel just falls down. So that's the problem with an angle and a single eye. It is really like happening, so people have it. Some may know, like this particular companion that we just mentioned, he knows, alright, and other companions knew that he had that problem. And that was why when the man fell unconscious, they told the Prophet that it was as a result of him making his comment. But when he looked at him and made a comment about his beauty, that was when the man fell down. And that's why the man wanted that they should bring him, let him perform ablution, and that water will be used to cure this man. So some of them may know, and probably some may know, but some do. They know that they have it. Allah is the same one. My advice is that you should always do adhkar, right? Do adhkar for yourself and for your family, alright? To protect yourself with adhkar, Allah will protect you, alright? From all this. And there's a particular adhkar that Prophet Muhammad used to do for Al-Hassan and Hussein.
Malam.
But the important aspect here, laziness is an act of disbelief. Whatever the intention behind it, it is a knowledge that is not beneficial. What's the essence of it? If you say their intention is not to find, so what are they going to do with knowledge? They want to understand in their meaning. After they have understood it, so what's next? We have just said that you cannot cure fear with fear. So they cannot say they are learning because, okay, if somebody is afraid, they want to use it to cure. They're doing that with haram. So what will now be the essence of learning? So, Allah Ta'ala, what is clear from the verse of the Quran is that learning it for whatever reason is an act of disbelief. Whatever is the reason, whatever this can also be part of the reason why it is haram. It's not a must that for them to learn it, they must do something that will take them out of Islam. But if we say so, it means that those who learn it through an need that does not involve an act of disbelief, they will say they are always talking. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you say that we rule that learning it is haram because before you learn it, you will have done something that will take you out of Islam, like setting up the Quran, as you said, or the things you want to slaughter a newborn baby, or anything like that. Okay, what if somebody who says, okay, me, I know a way that we can learn it that does not involve this one? What do you call the law? You understand? So, that's irrespective of whatever the need, irrespective of whatever the intention, and that says, do not learn it. Alright, you're not there. That's it. 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 That's it.